We're doing Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. We're up to the 48th chapter. We're dedicating our learning to the speedy recovery of Sarah Bas Chana. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Patach. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai began his lesson with the following verse. Bayom ha'u, on that day, karat Hashem et Avram berit. Hashem made a pact, Hashem cut a pact with Avram. Amar Avraham lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram said before the Holy One, blessed be He, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Lo Natata Li Zera, you've yet to give me any seed. V'ata Omer Li L'Zaracha Eten Et Haaretz Hazot, and you say to me that you will give this land to my seed. I don't have any seed. Shenemar, as the verse says, Hein li lo natata zara. Avram said, you haven't given me any seed. B'ma'eda ki rashena. So how will I know that I will actually inherit this land? Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Holy One, blessed be He, said to Avram, Avraham, kol ha'olam kulo b'diburi hu omed. This whole world stands on my say-so. Hashem says, so the world stays. Hashem says, so the heavens stay put, the earth stays put. So Hashem says, I gave the world its existence, and I continuously give it its existence. Ve'en ata ma'amin b'dvarai, and you don't believe what I say? It's my say-so, it's my speech that keeps the world existing. So then my speech should be enough to tell you it's going to be. And here we see maybe an insight into what our sages say, that Hashem created the world with 10 sayings. Hashem said 10 things and the whole world was created. So Hashem says, what I say, that's a creation in and of itself. And perhaps in order to understand this better, we can infer from a story of Eliyahu HaNavi. The Talmud tells us in Brachos, do we have a Gemara here? Yeah. Talmud tells us a story. It says, Rabbi Yossi, you guys know the great Rabbi Yossi, who lived in the city of Tzipori. His father's name was Chalafta, he was a rabbi in Tzipori. Rabbi Yossi says, Pam achat hayiti me'alech baderech. I was once traveling, and I entered a broken down building in Jerusalem. I entered there to daven. Eliyahu showed up and waited till I finished. And when I left the broken down building, he said, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Peace upon you, Rebbe. And I answered him, Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori. He said to me, son, why'd you enter the broken down building? I said to him, to pray. He said, you should have prayed on the road. I said to him, I was worried that the passers-by would interrupt my prayer. He said to me, you should have prayed a short prayer. Eliyahu said 3 sentences, right? It seems like all Eliyahu came to teach him was, pray a short prayer on the road. Says Rabbi Yossi, I learned 3 things from Eliyahu. I learned, you do not enter down a broken down building. Why? Because Eliyahu began by asking him a question. Why'd you enter the building? And if Eliyahu is asking a question, he's teaching me something. He's not just asking me for facts. I learned that you should rather pray on the road. And I learned that one who prays on the road should pray a short prayer. And then the story continues. So we see here the weight we're supposed to give to every word that's said by Eliyahu. How much more so by Hashem? Hashem says, I created the world with speech. I told you, your children will have this land of Israel. You're worried about what my say-so does? My say-so creates the whole world. Chayecha shtei pa'amim yadoa teida. And so Hashem says, I swear, you asked, Bama Eida, And so you will know, Yadoa Teida, know you will certainly know, now you will have two decrees. Ki ger yiye zaracha. Chayecha shtei pa'amim Yadoa Teida, Hashem says, now you're going to know. Your children will be strangers in a land that's not theirs. That's point number one. They will be put into forced servitude and afflicted. And that's point number two. So Hashem tells him, no, you will certainly know that your children, so what's the Midrash teaching us? An insight. Why were we in Egypt all those years? Why was there the decree we would be in Egypt all those years? Because Avram doubted Hashem. So the Midrash gave us a whole new understanding into the exile into Egypt. So there's a lot to think about in that. What's the exile in Egypt there to teach us? What's the purpose of a punishment? So Avram doubts Hashem, so his children end up in Egypt. And now that his children ended up in Egypt, what are they supposed to, what's the message they're supposed to come out of Egypt? What are they supposed to know? So what do the Psukim actually tell us? Hashem says, I want you to know, I want the world to know that I control the planet, I control the world, I control everything. You have the plagues, you have the miraculous exodus from Egypt. And there are more messages. Hashem passes over our homes even though we're not worthy. The Midrash says the Egyptians would bring their children into the Jews' home. They'd say, oh no, I don't want my firstborn to die, so I'm going to put him in a Jewish home. God says he'll pass over the homes that have the blood on the outside, so okay, so I'll put my boy in that home. It doesn't work. Here Hashem knows the difference between this boy and that boy. So the Exodus from Egypt shows us how cherished we are, how cherished the existence of Israel is, that Hashem is willing to change everything. Avram questions, how do I know I'll have a seed? And Hashem answers, you're going to see. They're going to see that they are a pivotal part of the world from now on. And even when they don't deserve it, I'm not leaving them there. And I'm going to make things work however I have to, even if I have to intercede. I'm going to make it work. They're going to come out and they're going to inherit this land against all odds. So there are many messages that we're going to see over time, not tonight, but over the course of time. If you bear this in mind, so then suddenly the whole idea of the exodus from Egypt takes on a new face. Yes?
Couldn't a lot of work be saved? Hashem instead exiled Abraham, taught him the lesson about everything that he taught Am Yisrael, and then he would have passed it on to the next generations anyhow, just like they passed it on. I mean, it might have been on a smaller scale. I guess the whole thing with the Manassas knew was, I guess, a big thing. But the same principle applies, that basically they passed it on to their children, passed it on to their children. And if Abraham had learned the lesson, he was the one who deserved the lesson, I guess, if he was the one who's been punished, then he would have passed it on to his children anyway and said, look at the miracles that Hashem did, and I've got exile, and I've got this, and that, and the other. And just like generations after the Jewish people in Mitzrayim learned from their parents about all the wonders that Hashem did in Mitzrayim, Abraham's descendants would have learned about it, and then none of that exile in Mitzrayim for the masses would have been necessary for.
That's such a beautiful question. I appreciate the question for two reasons. One, because I see someone still awake in this class.
I'm not awake.
This is all a dream. And two, because I want you guys to think and ask. I was bothered that you're letting me get away with saying so many things that are so filled with holes, such as the one you pointed out, and no one's asking any question. You're right. You've really asked a few questions, all intertwined in one.
I know you were asking me a very weird
question. I'm just saying there's. I want to break down the questions, and maybe we'll address one of them, whereas the rest we'll address in a more global sense.
The next generation be punished for what he did.
Right.
I know that question anyway. I mean, heard that many times, so I wasn't asking that question.
So if you're asking, look, couldn't Hashem have done it better had Hashem done A, B, or C? So then we could ask that about a lot of things, and I don't think that I could do justice. Whatever I'm going to answer is not going to be the complete answer. I can answer on many different levels why there were benefits to the way it played itself out, but I don't think that it's right to do that. Because there's no one source that really answers your question and gives these answers. So I would be pulling from this medrash and that medrash based on my understanding. I don't know of a source that addresses this question. Specifically, I don't feel comfortable saying what I think, because you can say what you think and I'll say what I think and he says what he thinks and whatever, fine, there are different angles. Why did Hashem make trees tall? Why did he make trees lower where he could pick the fruits without climbing on a ladder? Good question. So I could give you an answer to that one too. Okay, fine. I don't think it's my job to answer that. As far as the future generations, so that's a point that's important to address. The commentaries point out that when the psukim describe the suffering of Am Yisrael, the psukim also shows how we became morally decrepit. Initially it says we multiplied and things were getting tough. And then said we became like vermin, and then said they started torturing us. So the commentaries say when it says we became like vermin, when the Pasuk adds that word and says we multiplied like vermin, the Pasuk wasn't discussing quantity. The Pasuk was discussing quality. The Pasuk was discussing what type of people we were. And when the Pasuk says we're like vermin, then the Pasuk right away tells you, and then they suffered more. So we have a rule that even though there's a decree up above, the way the decree plays itself out is up to us. As the Radak brings from the Gaonim, that when Hashem decrees on King David, you should know that from within your own home, I'm going to cause one to arise against you. Hashem didn't say it has to be Avshalom. Avshalom chose to make it Avshalom. There was a decree, someone would do it. When Moshe Rabbeinu says, I know the future generation is going to sin, he didn't say which generation, it's up to us. You see the Levites, they weren't in forced servitude. The Levites were out of it, they were learning Torah. So even when there's a decree, that still doesn't mean that any specific individual has to suffer. That's up to us. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer. Lo yeshvu Yisrael b'mitzrayim ela 210 shanim. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, we were in Egypt all of 210 years. Tedal chashu ken. I'll prove it to you. Bo urei, come and see. Kshayarad Yosef l'mitzrayim haya ben 17 shana. Yosef descends to Egypt. He's 17 years old. Uvomdo l'fnei paro haya ben 30. Yosef comes after 13 years in prison. The Pasuk says, Yosef was 30 years old when he stood and deciphered Pharaoh's dream. Shnemav Yosef ben 30 shana. The Pasuk says he was 30. Sheva shnei asavah, he had 7 years of plenty. Shteim shnei rav, 2 years of famine. Harei 39 shana. Because Yosef says to his father, it's only been 2 years of famine, come up here to Egypt. So you have 7 and 2, you have 39. So Yosef is 39 years old when the Jews descend to Egypt, when Yaakov comes down to Egypt. V'Levi ben Yaakov haya gadol miYosef 6 shanim. Levi, if you do the math in the Torah, Levi was only 6 years older than Yosef. So Levi was 46 years old when they went down to Egypt. 46. Uvrito l'mitzrayim haya ben 45 shana. So the Medrash says when he descended to Egypt, he was 45 years old. 39 plus 6, not 39 plus 7. So he was 45, I'm sorry. Ushnei chayav b'mitzrayim 92 shana. He lived in Egypt all of 92 years. Harei 137 shanim. So if you take the full life of Levi, so from the time we descended to Egypt, Levi lived 137 years. He lived in Egypt 92 years. What the Medrash is going to do is the math with all the overlaps from Levi through Moshe And the Medrash is going to show that it wasn't 400 years. So then you can't say we were in Egypt a total of 400 years. But at this point, what? We're going to end up with 210. But at this point, I have a few questions.